Last week's parsha, Parshas Pinchas, it really doesn't begin in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. It really begins at the end of Parshas Balak. If you just start at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, you're missing half of the story, or maybe a big part of the story. You have to read it with the end of Parshas Balak as well, when the Torah tells us about the story of what happened with one of the Nesiim from Shevet Shimon, and it tells us the story of what Pinchas did and his kanoyus that he did and stepped up to the plate where seemingly no one else was, and he did what he did. It's a tough parasha because many people talk a lot about what does it mean to be a kanoi and get up and yell at, scream at people and burn garbage cans. I don't know. You have to be someone who's at the madriga to be such a kanoi. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us that Pinchas was an einikol from Aron HaKohen. I would eventually believe Aron HaKohen didn't throw rocks at people who drove cars on Shabbos. I would eventually believe Aron HaKohen didn't light garbage cans on fires because he don't like what they're doing. Kanoi takes a big responsibility to be a kanoi. It's not just about having fun and games and doing what you want. You have to really want it. You have to feel that you're doing it for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Feinstein writes that to be a kanoi means you're standing up for the glory of Hashem. Not for your own glory, and not because you like making fires or throwing things. It's a difficult position to be a kanoi. And the Torah is telling us that to be a kanoi, a real kanoi, what the Torah views as emissa kanois, is someone like Pinchas. Now, it wasn't easy for Pinchas. All the Mefarshim ask, where did Pinchas get the gevurah to do this? Again, Pinchas, compared to the Nasi, he was much lower ranked. To get up and kill a Nasi is not a simple task. Where did he get this, you know, power to do this? So they say, Vayter, he got it from Aron HaKohen. He got the fact that he felt that what he was doing was right. He thought that this was an immoral act, halachically incorrect. He asked Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah. You have the right to go kill him, so go do it. And he got the strength from his ancestors, from Aron HaKohen, that sometimes you have to do things which are uncomfortable, but again, it has to be rooted in the right place. Today, today's a kanoi for everything and anything. I don't know if that's correct either. A person has to make sure when he's acting on his kanoi, he has to make sure he's asking himself, am I doing this because I feel like I'm acting as a soldier of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or am I doing it for my own personal side, other agendas that I have over here? Torah goes on, the Torah discusses the story of Bnei Tzlafchad. Very interesting story over here, where we see that these girls, five girls, came to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in Rashi, they came to Beis Medrash. Everyone was sitting and learning, they came in. I can imagine, you see how it would work today, you know, big Beis Medrash, five girls stroll in, walk up to the front of the Rosh Hashiva, we have a Shiloh, we have a Taina. So they came with a very good Taina. They wanted to know what should happen with the father's Yerusha. So when they worded their claim to Moshe Rabbeinu, they worded it very interesting. They said, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, our dad died, but he wasn't part of Korach's rebellious, but he died for his own sins. So we mentioned this a few weeks ago. There's a Tosfos in Baba Basra. Tosfos says that the Mekoshesh, whoever he was, he did it L'shem Shemayim. The reason why this fellow was Mekoshesh Eitzim in the Midbar was he wanted to show the Jewish people that although we sinned with the Meraglim and all the other Averis, we still have to keep the Torah mitzvahs. So some people say, the Gemara in Shabbos is all discussion, that Bnei Tzlafchad, Tzlafchad might have been the Mekoshesh. So I was thinking, maybe the pshat over here is what the girls were saying is, that they're saying, listen, we know our father sinned. Everyone saw he was a Mekoshesh, and they got killed. But what they realized as children was their father died for a greater purpose. The father didn't just die because he was an Avarian, and he had a big Yetzirah and a Taiva, he didn't have air. The children realized that. And when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, that could have been part of their taina. It was, yeah, kibachet emes, he did an aveira. But we know as his children that he did a l'shem shemayim. We know that when he went to be Mekoshe Jason that day on Shabbos, he knew he was going to die. But he did it for the tayelis, the greater benefit of Klal Yisrael. Which as a parent is something that's not always given over to our children. We'd make unbelievable efforts in Mesiras Nefesh for our children or for what we do for our communities. Not always do our children realize what we do. They look at us sometimes as, oh, we're so busy, and they don't realize what we're busy doing. If we're busy helping communities or helping other Jews or helping other people, they don't know that. All they know is mom and dad are busy. So sometimes it's not always given over to the next generation of what that busyness is. All they see is mom and dad are not around. They don't understand why. So I was thinking maybe that's what happened over here. The Bnei Tzlafchad realized. He did an aveir, but it was an aveir that was for a reason. He did it. My dad sinned because he wanted to help Klal Yisrael. Now, as we spoke about at the end of Parshas Shlach, he got killed for it because he can't do aveiros even the Shema. But to me, it could be that these children realized this idea, what the father gave up for behalf of Klal Yisrael, and therefore the children felt that they have a right to the Eretz Yisrael. They felt that their father is not excommunicated from the community. He's not a sinner. He's a good person. He did it for the right reasons. But that's only because the girls realized that. It must have been, it was transmitted to them through their father. When their father told them about what was going on at that time in history, the girls realized, oh, my dad's doing this lishma. Instead of thinking, oh, my dad was just a low-life guy, he was an avayin. So a very, very important lesson in chinuch. Sometimes our kids don't always understand what we do in our lives, and to them it's perceived differently. Here, clearly these girls realize what their father gave up for Klal Yisrael, and the answer was they do get Yerusha. Moshe Rabbeinu answered back, you do. There's an interesting medrash. The medrash says, why was Moshe Rabbeinu so unsure what to do? So the medrash says, because Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us a lesson. That you don't always have to run right away, we know the answer. Sometimes it's kedai to think about a question or ask someone above us, bring it to someone in a hierarchy. It's an interesting lesson in chinuch, an interesting lesson in shailos, in pasuking shailos. You know, not always do we always know the answer. Sometimes we got to bring it up another level, someone above us, someone who's higher than us. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was somewhat hesitant with the answer. There's an interesting concept in last week's parasha where Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, it's time to find a new leader. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu's first instinct was, let's give it to my son. I want my children to take me over. Because Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not happening. Your children are not going to take you over. Instead, Yeshua is going to take you over. So there's an interesting Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, you see from over here, that although there's a concept in Halacha that a melech is given over by Yerusha, positions of authority can be given over by Yerusha, jobs that pertain to Torah are not given over by Yerusha. Because if jobs that pertain to Torah are given over to Yerusha, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu's sons take over? It must be, says the Chassam Sofer, you see from this week's parasha, that if you have a guy who's a Rosh Hashiva, who's a Rav, and he dies, it doesn't go to his kid. What really happens today is a different conversation, but what should happen in Halach at least, says the Chassam Sofer, you see from over here, it doesn't go over. Because if it were to go over to his son, so why did Yeshua get it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, not happening, Yeshua is getting it. Why? So says the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, you see from here, that positions of Torah are not given by Yerusha. The Abnei Nezer has a Tshuva, we argue on the Chassam Sofer. He says it's not true. He says, because I'll prove it to you. He says, everyone agrees that a melech is given over by Yerusha. There's no question. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had a status of a melech as well. So if Moshe Rabbeinu had a status of a melech, so at least his melech position should have been given over to his son. Why was nothing given over to his son? He says, Abdinezi, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was the exception to the rule. For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Moshe Rabbeinu's positions, neither position, not the melech position, not the Habatz's Torah position, none of those positions were transferred by Yerusha. So you see, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the exception, but normally positions of Torah can be transferred over to one's child. So a very seriously machlokes achreinim from last week's parasha about whether or not when a Rav dies or a Rosh Hashiva dies, does his children have rights to the position? Now again, this obviously means if the child is royal kach, if the son is a nice guy and a fellow, but he's not at all qualified to be a Rav or to be a Rosh Hashiva, he could be his son all day long, he's not going to get the position. But if he is qualified for the position, and he does have the similar traits of his father, then he would get the position according to the Adonizer, not according to the Chassam Sofer. This is the way most people assume. What's interesting is many people today assume that a Rosh Hashiva is not just a Torah job, it's more of a Malucha job. Because part of being a Rosh Hashiva today is not only teaching Torah, but you also make rules, and you set policies, and you throw people out, and you take people in. So now it's not just a Torah job, it's a Melech job. So maybe a Rosh Hashiva today could be given over by Yerusha, as opposed to, let's say, a rabbinic job. If you're hired to work in a shul, you don't make any policy, you pass in a shaila or two, and you give a shir, and you go to chasnas and levayas, that's your job. There's no melucha involved, unless you start your own shul. If you have your own shul, then you can do whatever you want. So there was a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim, the Sanze Rebbe. He talked about, what about a Rebbe? Is Rebbe something that's given over by Yerusha? So he said, you can't give a Rebbe by Yerusha. Being a Rebbe means that you're fit to be a Rebbe. It means you can give brachas, and it means you're a spiritual leader. That's not something that's given over by Yerusha. But those who say today, it's not the case, because today being a Rebbe is not just about that. Today being a Rebbe involves you own serious property. You own the yeshivas, you own the cemeteries, you own the meisters. It's melucha again. So today being a Rebbe is not just about your power, who follows you. Today it has to do with melucha. I was once talking to my Rebbe, Kalman Epstein, we were talking about when Satmar was splitting between the two brothers. So we were discussing it. So he told me he remembers the Satmar Rebbe's from the days of Williamsburg. So he told me, he said, this is only a new problem today in America about Rebbe's fighting. He said, in Europe, there was nothing to fight about. You followed the Rebbe, so you went to his tish, and that was it. There was no money involved. There was no property involved. It wasn't me to follow the Rebbe. So you liked him. He gave you bracha, so you went to him. Today, it's a whole different story. Today, being a Rebbe comes along with serious financial elements to it. You have a lot of money involved. So today, being a Rebbe is no longer just a position of Torah or of Yir Shemayim or having a certain kayach to affect people. Today, it involves money. So maybe today, a Rebbe would be transferred. There's an interesting shayla, a place can talk about. Let's say you have a Rebbe of a shul whose son is fit for the job, but he's inexperienced. He's a young guy, just fresh out of kol. So they say inexperience is a mum oiver. He'll get over that. Give him time. Take someone in the meantime, and when he gets old enough, when he gets more experience, then he gets the position. They talk about, what about a son-in-law? We know son-in-laws are not a halachic Yerusha. But the Pais can say that a son-in-law would get the position as well. If his father dies and leaves over a yeshiva, leaves over a shul, the son-in-law would get it as well. We know today that this is not really used, because today if they want to give it to someone else, they just say, oh, the kid's not fit for the job, and therefore they give it to someone else who they like better. But the idea of the Chassam Sofer is very powerful, is that Torah is not given over Yerusha. Anyone can become a Gadol B'Torah. Again, I can't be a Kohen, no matter what I do. I can't become a Kohen. If I'm not born into it, I can't become it. But Torah says the Chassam Sofer is not like that. Anyone can become a Gadol B'Torah. Anyone can become a big Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva became the head of Sanhedrin, and he had no very chashev pedigree. He came from nowhere. So the Chassam Sofer is telling us something very important, that Torah is not about who you know and who you came from. Torah is about your own effort. If you worked on becoming someone big, you can get a big position, even though you don't come from that type of a background. Again, today it's not so easy like that. You know, a certain Rosh Yeshiva once was approached by a father whose son-in-law wanted to go into chinuch. And the Rosh Yeshiva was telling him, you know, it's not an easy business today, chinuch. It's hard to get jobs. He said, don't worry, Rabbi. My son-in-law, he's got talent. And he's gonna go far. He tells Rosh Yeshiva, it's like a ball player. Take a ball player, he's got talent, he'll find his way into the major leagues. So Rosh Yeshiva told him, he said, listen, it's not like a ball player. A ball player, pluck him out of anywhere. If he has talent, he'll go to the major leagues. In the chinuch, it's not like that. You can have all the talent you want, but if you don't know the right people, you're not going to get a job. That's what Rosh Yeshiva told him. Puk chazi, it's very true. But in any case, in halacha, it's a bit of a discussion in last week's parsha to what exactly the status of giving positions over to other people are in halacha l'maisa. At the end of the parsha, the Torah talks about the Karban Tamid. And what's interesting about the Karban Tamid, when referencing the Karban Tamid, the Torah says, bring the Karban Tamid like you did by Har Sinai. So Rabbi Fran, it's a beautiful piece where he quotes, what's the significance of when you did it at Har Sinai? So he explains that the Karban Tamid was a very important carbon, and it was brought twice a day. The problem is when you do anything so many times, it becomes dry, old, stale, and boring. That's just the nature of people. You need to have some form of a hischachas to keep it fresh. So the Torah is trying to help you keep in your mind a trick to keep, so to say, the Karban Tamid fresh, is try to remember the first time you ever did it. You know, he gives a mashal. Try to remember the first time you ever put on tefillin. Right? The first time you put on tefillin, it was very different than the way we put on tefillin this morning. It's fresh, it's exciting, it's new. So he says the Torah is trying to help us live our life when we do things day after day. We daven three times a day. After a while, it gets a little boring. So you have to try to tap into that hischachos and say, I'm trying to do it like the first time I ever davened. And the Karban Tamid has a different power. It's mavor in the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Tainis that one of the things that happened at Shavuos Vetamuz was that we lost the Karban Tamid. What was so significant about losing the Karban Tamid? So the Mefarshim explained the greatness of the Karban Tamid was the fact that we did it every single day. And that's a very powerful lesson in Judaism, is to be consistent. Whatever you do in life, do it all the time. If you learn, learn every day. 5 minutes, 10, whatever it is, just be consistent. Make sure you do it every single day. Don't worry, I'll learn once a week. Once a month. The idea of the Karban Tamid was daily, twice a day, day after day, no matter what was going on. And that Karban Tamid was what protected Klal Yisrael. The Mefarshim say once we lost the Karban Tamid, that was really the beginning of the Churban, because the Karban Tamid protected us. The Mefarshim say the Karban Tamid that we brought in the morning protected us from the Averis that we did at night, and the Karban Tamid that we brought in the afternoon protected us from the Averis that we did in the afternoon. So we were protected all day. So the power of the Karban Tamid, although we don't have it today, is the idea of being consistent. Whatever we do in life, make sure we continue doing it. Day after day, be consistent in whatever we do, and that's really what protected Klal Yisrael until they were no longer able to bring that, and ultimately that brought on the Churban. We left off over here in the Gemara, and the Gemara told us an idea that the Mishnah said that if a husband puts a get behind his wife, and he tells his wife, that's your get, so the Gemara says it's a good get. As long as he says to her, hey, gitich, this is your get. So the Gemara asks the kasha, in fact, the Gemara, ki omala hey, gitich, mehave, has it help if you say to her, this is your get, have it like, tli gitich, me'agabi karka. The Gemara says, if you put the get behind her back, means the get's sitting on the ground, she walks over and picks up the get. The Gemara says, that's no good. The Isha can't pick up the get. That's what we call tli gitich, me'agabi karka. So Rava says, tli gitich, me'agabi karka, lo emaklum. So we talked a lot about, in the previous weeks, this idea that if a lady picks up the get, the get is no good because the get has to come from his body to her body. So the Gemara answers, you're right. We're talking about the case where the get is not on the floor. The get's tucked into his pants, between his pants and his back. So she pulled out the get from behind him. So it's not on the ground. The Gemara's kasha was, the get's on the ground. Well, it's not on the ground. It's tucked into his pants. The Gemara says, very nice. You're right, it's not on the ground, but he still didn't give it to her. He's just sitting there and she's taking it. And for the Gemara, like, the Gemara says, you're right. We're talking about a case where he enables her to get the get by bending over. The get was tucked in very tight. By him moving away, moving aside, it freed up space that she was able to get it. So that's considered that he was involved in the giving of the get, and that's good enough. So we spoke a lot over the last few weeks from the Achrayim that they learned from this Gemara two major halachas in how to give a get. The first halacha that comes out of this Gemara is he can't put the get on the ground and she walks over and picks it up. Why is that no good? That's what we call tligi dech me'agabe karka. What's wrong with that? So the way we explained it was, and the way many Achrayim explained it is, that the get has to come directly from husband to the wife. From my possession to your possession. If the get's in the middle of the ground, it's in a public area, or if it's in my friend's area. Let's say I take the get and I throw it into my friend's backyard, and I tell the wife, go pick it up in my friend's backyard. That's no good. Because the get didn't come directly from my possession to her possession. That's chassar number one. Chassar number two is, even if the get would be sitting on, let's say the get would be in my hand, and I tell the lady, come, take the get from my hand. So then the get's coming directly from my body to her body. But that's also no good, Zakti Gemara, because that you need to have the nasam biyada. You need to have that you gave it to her, not that she took it. That's the two yisaidis that come out of the Gemara. Based on these two concepts of the Gemara, assuming they're both correct, even la halacha, la maisa, in the end of the Gemara, it comes out that you have to make sure for any get to work, it has to be that the husband seemingly either helps or actually puts the get either in her hand or in her possession. If the lady does it, that would render the get no good because it would be a chasaron in the nasab. The problem with that is that we had a gemara that we learned a few months ago that seems to present a problem to this whole yisoid. We had a gemara that finds zainam at beis in Gittin. The gemara talked about a case where a husband needed to divorce his wife because he was about to die. It was a shechiv mirah. The problem was it was on Shabbos and they had to figure out a way to get the get to her to make her divorce before he dies. So the Gemara basically said that it was actually Rav in the Gemara. What the Gemara said, what they did was, Rav said, listen, I have a great idea. Let the lady go over, make a ma'aseh kinyan on the property. She'll be kind of the property, and she'll be kind of the get as well. So we had a huge machlokes with Shoinim over there. How is this working? Rashi was by far the minority opinion. If I'm not mistaken, Rashi was the only Rishon to learn like this. Rashi learned it was working with Agaf, which means what happened was is the husband said to her, the get is tucked away in my drawer. You come over to my house, you make a ma'aseh kinyan on my drawer or on my house, you'll be kind of the house, and with the house, you'll also get package deal, you'll also get the get known as Kinyan Agaf. You get one, you get the other also. That's Kinyan Agaf. That's the way Rashi learned. All the other Rishonim disagreed with Rashi. They said it's not Kinyan Agaf, it's Kinyan Chatzar. You'll be kind of the backyard is yours. Once you own the backyard, you own whatever in the backyard, and therefore you'll be kind of Kinyan Chatzar. That was the big machlokes Rishonim of the time over there between Rashi and everyone else. Why did the other Rishonim not like Rashi? So if you look over here, number two, the Ridvana and the Ein Zayin had two kashas on Rashi's pshat. He says, "The Eidem Mechaver, I don't understand Rashi. The Imkein Lomli Laknuya Habayish Aget Besoichoi." The kasha that the Ridvana and many other Rishonim had on Rashi was, if Rashi's right that it's working with Kinyan Agav, so the way Kinyan Agav works is that I could sell you property in one place and you could acquire metaltlin in another place. If I want to sell you a piece of land in New York and I also want to sell you pieces of metaltlin in L.A., so you make a ma'aseh kinyan on the karka in New York, you'll get the metaltlin in L.A. automatically through Kinyan Agav. So frek the Ridva, if that's true, so why did it have to be that the husband was directed to tell her, go to the place where the get is resting and be kind of that piece of karka? Why do you have to be kind of that piece of karka? If it's Kinyan Agav, you can be kind of any piece of karka. You'll own the karka, you'll automatically get the get. Bishloma, if it's Kinyan Chatzar, so Kinyan Chatzar's got to be the same place where the get is. I can't give you a Chatzar in New York and you'll be kind of a Talton in LA. That's not going to work. But if according to Rashi's world, it's Kinyan Agav, so asks the Ritva, if it's Kinyan Agav, why does it have to be the exact same place? Let it be anywhere. Let the husband say to the wife, go make a ma'aseh kinyan in any one of my properties scattered throughout the tri-state area, and automatically you'll be kind of the get that's sitting in my drawer. Hasbi says the Ritva, from the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, you see that it doesn't work through Kinyan Agav. This is a very shtark kasha that we shouldn't have on Rashi. The Chassam Sofer has an interesting answer for Rashi. He says that there's an interesting halach. The Gemara says that even though you don't need to have it piled up, but if they're not together, you have to speak out verbally, I want to be kind of both. Although in halacha, if you want to be kind of one in one place, one in another place, the kinyan on one does work for the other, but you have to at least express at the time of the kinyan that I'm making it a package deal. And we spoke about this a lot when we learned the sugi of Kinyan Agav, that the reason why you need to speak this out is because you somehow have to connect the two things. When the metatlin are on the karka, so the mere fact that they're together makes it a package. How do you make two separate things a package? By expressing that I want it to be viewed as a package. So the Chassam Sofer says, the halacha is you have to speak out verbally, I want to make it one big package. Says the Chassam Sofer, if you remember the Gemara over there, the Gemara had a whole issue, how are we going to make this divorce work? So the question was, what's the big deal? Let her take the get and take give the get to her. So we show him over there, Tiltul get is an Issa Darabanan, it's Mokta. So we ask, Kinyanim are also Issa Darabanan. So the Rishayim answer, because Kinyanim are not as an obvious Zilzul to Shabbos. If we would move a get around, everyone would see we're not keeping Shabbos. But closing a door is not a deliberate breach of Shabbos. People open and close doors all day long. So since the Kinyan that we can do can avoid openly Zilzul Shabbos, we'd rather do that. Says the Chassam Sofer, but if you have to speak out that I want to be kind of this with that, we defeated the whole purpose. Because now you're making an open declaration that you're making a Kinyan on Shabbos. And that was the whole thing we wanted to avoid. So says the Chassam Sofer, Rashi Bedavka wanted it piled up. Because if it's on the same property, you don't have to make an Amira. If you have to make an Amira, that goes back to being a Zilzul to Shabbos. So the Chassam Sofer answers, that's why according to Rashi, we didn't want it to be in a separate place, we wanted it to be on the same area. That's the answer the Chassam Sofer gives. The other Achrayim give a different answer, which is more Negeh to Lomdus. For example, the Beis Meir number 3 over here, the Beis Meir answers a different answer. The Beis Meir says, what would have happened if it wasn't on the same place? Let's say, for example, the husband would tell her, go over here to a property that I own and make a Maisa Kinyan on the property, and with that you'll get the get that's sitting in my drawer. Now, what would that mean just in Halach and Lomdus? It would mean she owns the property that's in New York, and the get that's in his drawer, she owns also. Says the Beis Meir, that wouldn't work for Gerushin. Why not? The big Chiddush. He writes, Avo beget lahachi bo yahu duchta. Why by get you need it to be that place? Because if the get would be in any other place, after konsol ba'agav, akati lo yahave v'nosan biyodo. Zog the Beis Meir, she would own this get 100%. Because that's the power of Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav means you own it. But that would not be sufficient for divorce. Why, says the Beis Meir? Because it's not in her hand. Where's the get placed? It's in someone else's possession. She owns it, but it's not technically either in her hand or in her possession. Says the Beis Meir, Rashi would tell you that's not good enough. We would have thought that according to Rashi, all you have to do is own the get. She owns it. Legally, halachically, this piece of paper is hers. If someone breaks into her to the house and steals this get, you're stealing from the lady. It's hers, without a doubt. Says the Beis Meir, but that's not what you need to make a divorce. You don't need to own the paper. You need the paper to be in your possession. Either in your hand. What? Yeah, right. This makes much more sense. The problem is we're saying this in Rashi. We always say Rashi is the one who believes Kinyonim, not Nesina. So we'll have to see if we can make this all work out. So the Beis Meir is suggesting a very big Chiddush in Lomdus, that according to Rashi, who believes you can use Kinyonim to make a get, it's not just about owning the get. It's about owning it and having it in your possession. That's the way the Beis Meir understood Rashi.
And if it was Chatzar,
if it would be her chatzah, it wouldn't be a problem, because then it's in her possession. But if it's in your, let's say for example, the husband would put the get in his friend's backyard and tell the lady, I'm being machni you the get, through whatever magical kinyan works. So she owns the get, but the get's not in her possession. The only way the get could be in her possession is the get was placed in the chatzah that the husband gave to her. That's the way the Beis Meir learned. The Ktzais had a different pshat in Rashi. The Ktzais had a more of a mechudishtik of pshat in Lomdus. He says like this in number 4, he writes, says, what would have happened if the husband gave her a piece of property, you know, over here, and the get would be in his drawer 5 blocks away? What would happen? So halachically, again, she'd own the get. We're not debating it. So the Beis Meir said she'd own the get, but it wouldn't be in her possession. Says it's a bigger problem. What would the problem be? Kiven da get brushusoyu bechatzeiroi, imken havle ogud gabe. Says it would be a different problem. It wouldn't be a problem that for Gerushin it doesn't work because it's not in her possession. It's a problem because it's in his possession. It's too connected to the husband, because where's the get sitting? It's sitting in the husband's drawer. Says the Ktzais, that would be a chesaron called Ogud Gabe, that the husband and wife are still connected post the giving of the get. And he compares it to a case of get biyadu and mashicha biyadu. We have to talk about this gemara later on in our perek, where the husband gives the wife a get with a string. He gives her, he throws her a get, you know, with a fishing pole, right? He sticks the thing into the get, and he flings it out to her, and he pulls it back. He gives it to her, he pulls it back. So the Gemara says, that's not a good get, that's a good gabe. Says the Ktzais here also, if you give the get, and you put it anywhere that the husband has rights to, that's considered connected to the husband. Connected to the husband is not a good get. Ah, so the nafkamina between the Beis Meir and the Ktzais will be what happens if he puts the get in a third party draw. So according to the Ktzais, that's fine. You're not connected to the husband. I mean, there's no problem to be connected to the neighbor. But according to the Beis Meir, it still wouldn't be good because it's still not in her possession.
Is that starting in the Kenyan or the issue of the Sinai?
Ah, so that's what I want to get to right now. So the Achrayim point out, they say, 1 second. If you learn like the Ktzais, why didn't any of the other Rishonim think about this? The Rishonim all bomb away Rashi. They don't understand. Why did Rashi say it has to be that place? So Frek the Achrenim, I don't understand. According to the Tois, everything makes so much sense. What was everyone else thinking? Let's turn the table. Now, if we're going to learn Rashi like the Tzoyis, so why was it that all the other Rishonim were so bothered by this Kasha? Why didn't they see it through Rashi's lenses? So the Achrayim give two answers. The Stipler says that no, the other Rishonim held, that's not Ogud Gabay. Ogud Gabay is a chasar when the husband is actually attached to the actual get. Again, what's the classic example? He has a string where he's pulling back the get. That's connected. The fact that the get's sitting in the husband's drawer, that makes the husband connected to the get. Legally, he can't close the drawer and not let her in. I'm saying he has rights to the drawer. But he has no direct connection to the actual chefts of the get. He's not connected to the get. He's connected to the drawer that's housing the get. So the other Rishonim held, that's not called Ogud Gabay. That's not connected. Connected means when the husband's connected to the actual get. Which means, according to this, it comes out of a very fundamental machloikis Rishonim. How do you understand what does it mean to be connected? According to Rashi, it doesn't just mean that the husband's connected to the actual get. It means the husband's connected to any part of the piece of paper. The fact that he has access to this get, and he could deny her access to the get, that means he's still connected.
He's connected to her.
Well,
he's connected to her.
What do you mean he's connected to her?
She has to come to him.
Right. So according to Rashi, that's enough to say that they never severed ties. They're still connected. The other Rishonim will say, no. The fact that the actual paper is completely hers, he has no connection to it. The fact that she can only get to the drawer if he lets her and he doesn't have a security guard there, that's we'll call it a technical problem. That's not connected. That's the way this type of learns. Shmuel Rozovsky wants to suggest maybe a different answer. Shmuel Rozovsky wants to suggest that maybe this whole problem of Ogud Gabay is a chasar in what? It's a chasar in Nesina. It's how you give a get. The way you give a get can't be a way where your husband's still connected. Says Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, Rashi doesn't care about Nesina. Because Rashi holds you're working with Kenyan. There is no Nesina over here. Where did the husband give her a get? Let's look at the scenario. This is what we need to talk about in today's share. The husband told her, walk over to my house, close my door, and when you close the door of my house, you'll get my get also. Who was the Nesina saget? It says in the Torah, V'nasam biyada. Must be, Rashi holds, that Vinasan doesn't mean the only way to give get. Vinasan means either you give it to her or she owns the get. So here I made it that she owns the get without giving her the get. Says Shmuel, if that's the way it works, so there's no chasar in Ogud Gabay. Ogud Gabay is when you're connected through an act of giving. There was no act of giving. There was an act of ownership. If it's about ownership, then the fact that you're connected is not going to play a role. Therefore, the other Rishonim held that over here won't be a chasar of Ogud Gabay. That's the way the Achrayim wanted to answer for all those other Rishonim who disagreed with Rashi. Now, if you go back to the Ritva for a second, you'll see the Ritva had really two kashas. His first kasha was, what about Tziburim? But he had a second kasha. That's what I want to talk a little bit more about today. If you look in the last line of the Ritva, he writes, V'hecha shehaget hu bebayis acher, hech miskeresh is medin agav. When the get's in another room or another house, how does agav work? V'haleka v'nosan biyada. You don't have v'nosan biyada. Now these words, v'nosan biyada, we just saw in our Gemara. Those magical words, v'nosan biyada. What was bothering the Rishonim that they held that you can't use Kinyan Aga for a get? It's not Vinasan Biyada. So what is the Chasar? So I think the way most of us would have assumed, it means... Now, it doesn't mean the get's not in her hand. The get's very much in her hand. It could be in her hand. The way you have to learn these Rishonim is it's not Vinasa. The problem is not the Biyada part. The problem is the Vinasan part. You didn't put it in her hand. You didn't do anything. You sat back here, and the Shemir, his mom is dying, lying in his bed dying, and all he did was he told the wife, listen, close the door of my house. And all of a sudden now, the get's hers. Where's the Vinasa? So therefore, says the Rishonim, Kinyan Agav can't work. Now, the question is, so why is Kinyan Chatzar any better? I understand, let's say the husband gives it to her house Chatzar. Where's the Vinasa then? Did the husband put anything in anything? No. The husband sat back in his bed dying, and he told the wife, make a Kinyan on my house, and you'll get the get. Why is that any better? So that's what we need to talk about. Now, one could have learned that the problem over here is not the Vinasan, it's the Biyada. That the fact that she owns the get doesn't mean the get's in her hand. Similar to what the Beis Meir suggested. You can own something, but it's not in your hand. So if Kinyan Agav would to work, it's not a reflection that the get's in her hand. It would just mean that she owns it. It wouldn't mean that it's in her hand. So you could have learned that like that. The problem with that is it's not true, because according to Rashi, the get's in the place that she owns. So in Rashi himself, he can't learn like that. If you look in 2b, in the Sefer Kuntres Vinasan Biyada, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, we read a whole Kuntres about the whole Vinasan Biyada, that's the name of the Sefer. Kuntres Vinasan Biyada, it's a great Kuntres, about 40 pages, where he goes through all this Nesina-related childs in Mesechus Gittin. So he quotes from over here, from the Avi Ezri, from Reb Shach. I couldn't put Reb Shach on the page, because on Oitzah HaChachm, Reb Shach, you can't print off of. I don't know why. I guess maybe the way when the family gave rights to the Sefer, they didn't give you the rights to print it. You can only look at it, but you can't print off of it. Okay, so it's hard to put it on paper, but he quotes from Reb Shach, that Reb Shach says that it's poshut that these Rishonim, when they asked, it's Venosan Biyodah, they didn't mean that it's a problem in being Biyodah. The problem was it wasn't a Venosan. The problem was that the husband never gave it the get. The husband didn't do enough of an act of Nesina, similar to what we learned in our Gemara in the Fayin Ches, that the husband has to be involved in the giving in order for the get to be Chal. The problem is, how did Rashi learn the Gemara in the Fayin Ches? Rashi held Kinyan Agav works for a get. Kinyan Agav, where's the Venosan? Like the Rishonim ask. So it's not just a kasha of the Rishonim on Rashi. It's had Rashi learn the Gemara in the Fayin Ches. Our Gemara that we spent time on clearly shows you that the husband has to give the get. The fact that the husband just enables her to get the get is not good enough. That was clear from the Gemara, right? The Gemara said if the get's tucked in his pants and she comes and takes it, it's no good. So why is Agav any different? The husband's not giving anything. Why is the husband allowing her to be kain of something or giving her the rights to be kain any different than if the lady would come and take the get from behind his waist?
When it's behind his waist, there is biyada, but there's no benasa.
Well, it's in half, Agav, right?
Right, but in Agav, there's neither. There's no benasa.
What do you mean there's no benasa?
Not actually giving it
over. Right. Okay, so that's
and
what
we're...
Let's try to figure out, how do we understand Rashi? When Rashi says Kinyan Agav works, how do you understand Rashi? So there's two ways, I think, to understand Rashi. We'll go Reb Chaim's way, the way Reb Chaim writes in Rashi, that Rashi held, when the Torah writes V'nosam B'yodah, when the Torah gives us, it's amazing, there's one pasuk in the Torah that talks about this whole act. V'nosam B'yodah, save a krisis. That's the whole shebang. And we've been speaking about this for months, but that's the whole pasuk. V'nosam B'yodah. Torah says, put it in her hand. So Reb Chaim learned in Rashi that the Torah is telling you there's two ways to make gerushin. Either v'nasan, give it to her, a direct hand-to-hand giving, that's v'nasan, or biyada. Biyada means, according to Rashi, making that she owns it. Not that you gave it, but that she owns it. There are two options of how to make chaloyz gerushin. You can go option A or option B. Option A is just give it, no kinyonim attached. And option B is kinyonim with no nesina attached. That's the way Reb Chaim understood Rashi. And then Reb Chaim goes on to explain, according to this, it makes an afkamina lahalacha. For example, says Reb Chaim, if you're going to use kinyonim as your mode of giving, then you can't do it bal karcha, because no one could be kreina anything bal karcha. The only way you can give a get bal karcha, says Reb Chaim, is if you use the v'nasan path to gerushin. So Reb Chaim learned in Rashi, there's two completely independent ways to make gerushin, either v'nasan or biyada. Achrayim quote a Pnei Yeshua that says like this. I wasn't able to find this Pnei Yeshua, where the Pnei Yeshua seems to be copying the lomdus of Reb Chaim. That there's really two ways to make gerushin. Either you make gerushin through a maisa nesina, or you make gerushin through a maisa kinyan of biyada.
Yeah, but if you have biyada, you know the nosan
kavosomer. You don't need. Well, I'm not sure that's true. The fact that you can be kain of get, some people tell you that you can either be kain of the get, or I can just give you the get. They're two different ways. I'm not sure why one's a kavosomer.
No, but if you know biyada, then you can get a get.
I would have thought the other way. Maybe if gerushin was all about ownership, about her owning the get, so who says there's something called just giving it without being kainet?
Oh, you're saying
it's about
nesina without
kinyan. Right. That's the other way. The way that Tzais learns that you can have a nesina without a kinyan. That, it's already is much harder to accept. So that's the way Reb Chaim learns Rashi. In number 5, in Shuri Reb Nachum, in Reb Nachum's Shurim, in the first part of the Masechta, Reb Nachum's Shurim doesn't go into the 8th parak, but I found this in the first parak, on Daf Yud Gimel, in the first parak of Gittin, where it comes up a little bit, the sugya. So Reb Nachum has an arichos over there. So Reb Nachum quotes over here from Reb Baruch Be'er. And he quotes from Reb Baruch Be'er, that Reb Baruch Be'er learned Rashi differently than we're saying now from Reb Chaim. That Rashi learned, we'll say it the way Reb Nachum says it, the Gamla Rashi, the Mahani Kinyan Agav Beget, Eina Kavona, the Mulvad Din Venosim Biyodim, et Sinu Oyefin Noisif, Shal Gerushin Adi Yizchias Yishin. Baruch Be'er said, don't learn Rashi the way we just learned Rashi. That there's two ways to make gerushin. There's either giving it or being kain of the paper. Elo kavanosik the etzem hakno chashiva kinesina. Said Baruch Be'er, no. When you're makdi the get to the isha and she owns the get, that's called giving it to her. Giving it doesn't only mean in a physical manner of hand-to-hand giving. There's two ways to give something. You can give something physically and you can give it in lumdus. The lumdus way of giving something is by making it yours. If I relinquish my ownership and enabling you to become the owner, so I gave it to you. If I gave you a gift and I didn't put it in your hands, but instead I enabled you to own it because I was machnet to you. That's also called giving, says Reb Baruch Be'er. So Rashi held that it's all under Venasan. Kinyan Agav is Venasan. Where's the Venasan? The Rishonim asked, where's the Venasan? So said Reb Baruch Be'er, I'll tell you what the Venasan is. The fact that I enabled her to be kain, how did she get to this get? because I enabled her to be kainet, because I was makna her my property. It's all because of me. Without me, she doesn't have anything. So therefore, says Rabbi Chaim, that Rashi holds that that's called vinasa. So in the Rishayim had a kash on Rashi, it's not vinasa. Of course it's v'nasan, says Rabbi Achbar. V'nasan means either physically giving it or enabling you to have it is also called v'nasan. That's the way he understood Rashi. Not that there's two ways to make Gerushin. There's two ways to understand the word v'nasan. Either v'nasan means a physical giving or v'nasan means enabling you to have something or to own something. That's also called v'nasan. Now the problem is, if you learn like this Mahalach and Rashi, then we have a very stark akasha. Rabbi Shimon asks this and other Achrayim ask, one second. If this is right in Rashi, then how is there ever a problem called Tligi Dech Mergabe Karka? What happens? You throw the get in the middle of the street, and you tell her to go get the get. Now, she can't just go over and pick up the piece of paper. It's not hers. The only way the get becomes hers is because you say to her, the paper that I own, I'm giving to you. I'm makin it to you. So if Reb Shimon, if Bachber is right in Rashi, that the fact that I allow you to be kind of it is called I gave it to you, so what's wrong with Tligi Dech Mergabe Karka? Why is that not good enough? Oh, so you're going to have to say that it has one mile without the other. It's still lacking b'shus l'b'shus. Okay, so let's see what the Achrayim say about this. Reb Shmuel Rizovsky, who's a Talmud of Reb Shimon, so he asks this kasha as well. He quotes it from Reb Shimon, this kasha. We'll see Reb Shimon's mahalach inside in a minute. So Reb Shmuel, number 6, asks this kasha. He says, I don't understand. Why, according to Rashi, is there ever a problem of Tligi Dechmei Agabekar? And he writes that Rashi is not of the opinion that all kinyanim work. Rashi's limiting it to specifically Kinyan Agav. Why only Kinyan Agav? So says Reb Shmuel, because Kinyan Agav d'hochad hu Kinyan mitzad ha-makne. Because the way Kinyan Agav works, it's not really about the koine, it's really about the makne. The way Kinyan Agav happens is not because I walk over and I do something. It's because I, the makne, I, the giver, want to give you X and Y. So my power as a makne enables you to get a package deal. But it's all coming, stemming from the power of the makne. That's how Kinyan Agav works. It somewhat makes sense because, again, it's a different type of a Kinyan. We're talking about a Kinyan where you're not even touching the metathlon. You never made a Maisa Kinyan on the metathlon, yet the metathlon become yours. The only way that makes sense is because the Machnas power is able to give you that as well. So therefore, says Reb Shmuel, if that's true, so Tligi Dechmei Agav Karka is very different. Why? He says, even though over here, she had to do the physical act. She closed the door. And that closing of the door gifted her the get. But if you want to know who really made the get hers, that was the husband. Why? The Kinyan Agav hu mitzara makne. The way Kinyan Agav works, it works because of the makne. Because the husband says, oh, you made a Kinyan on my chatzah, so now I'll give you the get as well. But the metatlin goes to her really from the power of the makne. However, says Reb Shmuel, "Ubezeh Shabbat miskayim nesin biyada." That's called the nasan. Avo betligidach meagabe karka do isha oise hamaisa kinyan bahaget. There, the isha is doing everything. Again, of course, I need the husband's permission to be able to get the get. I can walk into your house and make a ma'ase mashiach on your matzah, and I don't own it just because I did it. You have to consent. But that's not enough, says Reb Shmuel. The fact is, who did the act? Who was the one who created the chalois kinyan at the end of the day? So by Kinyan Agav, it's really the husband. The husband was the reason they get ended up by the lady. Although the wife did the physical action, that the lomdish action was really done from the husband. But by Tligi Dechmei Agav Karka, that's all one-sided. That's all the lady doing. The lady's one picking up, she's making it hers, that's no good. That's how we differentiated between Tligi Dech and the case, let's say, of Kinyan Agav, which comes out the Fizeh, and this is something we need to keep in mind throughout the sugya. According to Shmuel's understanding of Rashi, it would come out that Rashi would not hold you can use any other Kinyan except for Kinyan Agav. Let's say, for example, you want to give your wife a get through Meshicha. You tell her, you pull the get. So would that work according to Rashi? So according to Shmuel Rizovsky's Lomdus, it would not work. Because that's something she's doing. It has to be a Kinyan that's coming from you. So it has to be that you're the Siba of why it happens. So by Kinyan Agav, we assume that the Machna is what makes it happen. Kinyan Chazaka, that's all about the Kinyan. Kinyan Meshicha, Kinyan Chazaka, Kinyan Mesira. Those Kinyanim are all about the Kinyan. Then according to Rashi, at least according to Moshe Mozovsky, that wouldn't work. That's what comes out.
That's assuming you need a Maisa to do that. Why can't you say that Mesira constitutes that?
But we know that's not true. If I want to give you a gift, I still need to make a Maisa Kinyan.
That's a good Kinyan, but in terms of giving her, initiating the process of giving her, to say the Mesira facilitates that. As opposed to, you know,
but how do you get the, where's the Maisa Kinyan that makes the get hers? Right, you need a Maisa Kinyan. So by Kinyan Agav, what was the Maisa Kinyan? You close the door. So Zok Reb Shmuel, that Maisa Kinyan that the technically the lady did, she wasn't really doing it. She did the physical part, but the lumness was done by the husband. But if you have, let's say you throw the get, you know, in the middle of the street, you tell her, you know, pull the get. Be moishich the get. Or if you take it out of his hands, right? Let's say the get's standing in the husband's hand and she pulls it out. Right, so if you hold, you need a kinyan, so you'll say, well, according to Rashi, well, who cares? She owns the get. The answer is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, no. Because the way she owned it was done by her, that's no good. That's what comes out according to him. So Rabbi Shimon, in Chedusha, Rabbi Shimon, Simon Dalad, has a little bit of a discussion about the same Shaila as well. I can't say I understand all of Rabbi Shimon, but as a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon's yeshiva, I have to at least go through the piece, or make believe I understand what he's saying. A little bit of both. So let's see what Rabbi Shimon says in side number 7. Rabbi Shimon said like this. Valkei nearly the hard to be in a vinasan that says in the Torah vinasan who rakshloi tekablenu ba'atzma. The idea of the Torah says Reb Shimon is when it says in the Torah vinasan b'yada, what do we want? We want it to be that he gives it, not that she takes it. We don't want it to be that she walks into the husband's house and takes the get. We want it to be that he is the reason that the get's by her, and not vice versa. And he quotes the Rambam, which we saw 2 weeks ago. K'mayishkasa Rambam Perik Beis, Melchus Gerushin, Loi nema v'nosan, Elo shaloi tekablenu me'atzma. When the Rambam brought down the drasha of Tligitech, the Rambam wrote that it says in Torah v'nosan, and not that she should take it herself. So Reb Shimon is saying, you see from the Rambam, that the Iker Hakbad of the Torah was not so much your involvement, but more so that she shouldn't be the taker of the get, you should be the giver of the get. Okay. Says Reb Shimon further, Hainu. There's two ways to give a get. The normal conventional way is putting the get in her hand. From you to her, that's Vinasan. You gave it to her by putting it in her hand. Beis, Nesina Bedin. There's a way of giving it in the way Rebach Ber was quoted from Reb Nachum. That although you didn't physically give it to her, you gave it in a way of lomdus, we'll call it. It was a lomdus you're giving. What does that mean? So he says, "Hainu, afshel higia haget v'shtal liyadoi oichat seira." Even though you'd never put it in her backyard, right? You never put it there. You never put it in her hand. But after be inish the kablan biyod bechaser dafka, he says over here, "Avoshalahu aidei kinyan." But it belongs to her through a ma'aseh kinyan. That's what we'll call the two ways of being mekayim v'nasan. Either you actually give it to her, hand to hand giving, the normal way, or you made it hers through a ma'aseh kinyan. Vihine, says Reb Shimon. Af im bi'ino shetekablenu biyodo ebechatzeiro, even if there's a din that she needs to get it physically in her hand, dafka, ain't zim shum gedr kinyan. That's not because that's the only way she can own the get. El dohacha hu gzer sakasav. It's gzer sakasav, says Reb Shimon. Don't try to understand it. We spent 2 weeks ago trying to understand it. Reb Shimon says, don't lose sleep over it. It's gzer sakasav. The Torah says the way to give it as a specific order. Vichain. Im nemer de mahani shar kinyan beget. So now here's where Reb Shimon asks the kasha. If you hold that other kinyanim work by get, so why is there ever a problem of tligite? Al korcha hoduloi mahani tligitech megabe karka. So why is tligitech ever a problem? What's the problem? You gave it vinasa. Says Reb Shimon, shakbeda teira shalei yahashtar biyado kaidem anasina. Because what the Torah wants it to be is that she shouldn't have it in her hands before halachically it was given to her. We don't want it that she has the paper in her hand before you either gave it to her physically or in lumdis you gave it to her. That's the Akbad HaSatayru. Hainu, shloi tekablenu ba'atzma. Like the Rambam says, we don't want it to be that she has any shlita, any power over the paper, unless it came from you.
So if you said hagitek before she picked it up in the street?
So if you, right, so according to that, if you would tell her in the street that I want to give you the get, that would work.
And you throw it?
Right. And it would sound like that. So he says, the gama, he writes over here, let's say a ganav takes something into his possession. I walk into your house and I steal something. So right over here, that's considered being in my possession. If you were to give her the get to halachic rules like a kinyan, kinyan agav, or a mamet shloshton, im name of the hoisa takanabaze, if it worked by mamet shloshton, that's a different shmuz. Loi shaychasan the tligitech. Why? The bepoil loi yagia get lirishusa. It didn't actually get to her hand. And the fact that she actually has it, that was from me. But if either one happens first, says Reb Shimon, if let's say, for example, she picks up the get, and then I'm mocking to her, no good. Because she had the get in her possession, not from me. But, says Reb Shimon, if she'd have the get in her possession strictly from me, through my power of kinyan, then that would be good.
It's a little different than if somebody breaks into your house, because it has her name on it.
Right. Well, that just means she's going to get it. It doesn't mean it's hers yet. That means it's destined for her. He writes, "Avol not lo bepoil miatzmai." Let's say she'd walk into my house and take the get. Says Reb Shimon, "Ozlei mehani mashenem ashe bepoil teknois aidei bal." So you say, "Fine." So now you know what I was going to plan on giving it to you, but now you beat me to it. I'll say, "You know what? I'm being machni to get." Says Reb Shimon, "That's not going to work."
Isn't that a violation of the Rambam? It's not that you took it by yourself.
But right. That's what he's saying. That's what Reb Shimon is saying. According to, even in Rashi's world, that wouldn't work. Why? Because it has to be that the get is either physically in her possession from my giving, or that it became halachically hers first. It can't be she has in her possession first.
Can't make a kinyan unless I agree.
But she can still have it in her hands. That's his whole point. Was if she has it in her hands, although illegally, that's already in breach of the nasa. That's where I kind of have a little difficulty understanding all this. That's the way Reb Shimon sounds like. If it's physically in her hand before it was halachically given to her, that would already be a breach of the nasa. So that's the chsaron, says Reb Shimon, by tli yidich, if she walks over to the street and you weren't machted to her, you just told her take it. So then she walks over and scoops it up. So it's already in her hands. That's no good. But if you were to first be machted to her and then it came into her hands, then according to Rashi, it would be good. That's how Reb Shimon makes Rashi work with tli yidich me'agabe karka.
And tli yidich is not equivalent to being machted.
Exactly. That's what comes out. According to this, tli yidich means I'm not being machted to you to get. I'm just telling you, go take it.
Why you have to use the words?
I guess according to, let's say in Rashi's world, you'd actually have to be machned to her with halachic hakno in order for that to work. That's right. Well, you right. There's no. Right, but what does that mean?
Semantics.
Right, that's not a kinyan. You have to use some form of a kinyan. Right, which means according to Rashi would come out. But again, you wouldn't be able to use agav because no, I guess you wouldn't be able to use agav. Let's say you tell the isha, go be kinyan the get the chotzer, go make a ma'aseh kinyan on my chotzer, and you'll give me kinyan the get that's sitting in Mishnas Rabbim. In theory, that would work. If agav works in Mishnas Rabbim, I think that's a shayla. But that's what will come out according to Reb Shimon's understanding in Rashi.
We automatically thought it was a problem because of the character that don't know it.
Right.
And that was saying that's not the pshat.
Right.
Pshat is how he worded it.
That's right. Well, that's what I worded. According to Reb Shimon, the problem is how the get came into her possession. The way the get became hers was not through halachic. It became first through physical. She first had it in her rishos. She took it from him. As long as it doesn't come from him, that's going to be a problem with tli yidich, according to Rashi. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's what Reb Shimon's saying.
I would just say simple pshat. You know, some yada, I don't even know why we have these two alternatives on either the sino or the yada. It's such a stark event and it's such a finality that the Torah says, listen, I need to know that it's unequivocal. So I need an asina that's unequivocal and I need yada. Because even it said, v'chasav lo, v'nosan lo. It went yada. So yada itself is, I guess, a mechanism which can be more expanded.
All right, that's what the Gemara said. We extend chotzer and all those other things.
Right, so it's saying, v'nosan, you got to give it. I got to make sure that you know what? You didn't have a stuff you can give it. It's got to be unequivocal. And yada gives me the ability to say it doesn't have to physically be in your hand, but however we learn the yad is a handle and whatever the other Torah is on
right.
It. And that's the way you want to affect it. So the Torah is telling me over here, I got to give it because I got to make sure you want to give it. And I also have to make sure there's a recipient over there because that's what it says. You have to be bedafkin or handed me somewhere else, and that's the lumbus. I didn't understand where he says, well, I could either have an asin or I could have yad. The Torah doesn't give you an or. It's vidnasan and yad. It's both components.
Right. That was the
and
issue.
The Torah is to make sure that, you know, listen, the mizbeach cries or whatever it is when there's a gershin. So God wants to make sure that, listen, as best as we can, let's make this a certain event.
Right. Yeah, that's the issue that many achrayim have with Reb Chaim. How do you split the pasuk? The Torah says nasa biyada. It's not option A. Right.
It doesn't say O.
Right. That's probably why I think Reb Baruch Meir went a different route. He probably felt that it's not two options. It's one option. You got to make everything fit into the nasa. Right. I agree.
But
it has to be that she owns the get or it's put
in. Understand what's in the get because they're not all standard.
I'm not sure why.
All the same.
You're right. Your aura was that if there's certain tenoyim which we learned a lot about, you can make. So, but it might not matter anyways because the get's chal either way, whether she consents or not, it's irrelevant. She might have to know the tenoyim so she doesn't breach the tenoyim. You're suggesting a new reason why she has to read the get so she should know the conditions so she doesn't breach them and set everything in the mafreya bottle. Yeah, that's a good point. But that doesn't affect the actual get functioning. The get's going to function no matter what. You're suggesting that she should have to read the get for her.
It doesn't function until she sees it. She reads it.
No, that's not true. The get functions the moment it's in her possession. Now you're saying, well, if let's say he writes in the get, we're divorced, I'm a nasa, you give me $1 million. and she never gives him $1 million, so she doesn't know that she needs to give him $1 million. Yeah, that's a very good point. I didn't see anybody shining to bring that up, that you should have to read the get, not for the fact that Tyson says you have to read the get, so she should know she's divorced. You're suggesting more than that. She knows she's divorced, but she doesn't know there's a million stipulations in the get. You know, one of the tarayim is, you know, you're not allowed to go down the block. She doesn't know that. She's going to walk down the block and be a breach. That's a good point. I hadn't seen anyone mention such a svara. I'm guessing the svara would be that since most people don't put stipulations in the get, and we're not worried about it, but I think it's a fair point. If there are stipulations written in that shtar, she's got to know about it, because if she doesn't know about it, she's just going to breach them.
That's why they said
biyada.
That's why they said that in her hand. That's why
they said biyada doesn't mean she's going to read it. Biyada just means it's in her hand. Doesn't mean she's going to read it. You could put, listen, we give things to people all the time. They don't read it, right? We give kids books and swarm. They don't read it. They put it in their hand. They take it. They make a kinyan on it. They put it on the shelf. They don't read it. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why the Torah would want one way more than the other. Let's continue on in Rashi. In Rashi's world, Rashi holds that you can be makne and isha a get, even though you never physically give her the get, right? Again, in Rashi's world, the husband never physically gave the get to her. So how does this all work? So whichever pshat and achrayim you want to suggest, it's because he was makne to her. So the Ktzayis over here, number 8, has an interesting piece, where the Ktzayis says, what about other types of kinyan? Let's say chalipin. As if we didn't talk enough about chalipin when we learned kedushin. We'll bring chalipin in again. Let's say chalipin. The husband would say to her, listen, here's a sudder, here's a sheet, and with the ma'isa kinyan on the sheet, you'll be kind of the get as well. Would that work for gerushin? So obviously, if you don't hold of Rashi, there's nothing to talk about. There's no venasan. But in Rashi's world, that is venasan. Because since I gave you the sheet, and the sheet enabled you to be kind of the get, now the get is yours, that's good enough. So would Rashi allow such a chaliz gerushin to take place? This was the shaila of the Ketzais. According to Rashi, that whole kinyan agav works, what would kinyan surda be? The husband goes over to the wife and says, listen, pick up this handkerchief. She picks up the handkerchief, he says, okay, the get's yours now. What would be then? Now again, you'll have a little bit of a technical problem. Where's the get actually situated? The Tzoyis Lushi Tosai told us, if the get would be sitting in his backyard, it wouldn't be good. So let's make it simple, the get's sitting in her house. The get's in her house, let's say. The get's in her property, or the get's in a third party, according to the Tzoyis, and he gives her the handkerchief, tells her pick up the handkerchief, and now the get's yours. So one would have thought, according to Rashi, that should be good. Because according to Rashi, it's not about giving, it's about owning. She owns it, halachically she owns it. Kinyan, so does a kinyan. Again, it's only kinyan de rabbanan maybe, so we'll have to talk about, do kinyan de rabbanan help for something deraisa? Okay. But in any case, she owns it. So it says it's no good. It doesn't work. And it's come out of Mefurash Gemara in Baba Basra, that the Gemara says, basically openly, that such a kinyan would not work for get. But the question is, why not? So the Ketzai says in number 8, v'nira, that filu das Rashi to get nikna ba agav, even according to Rashi, where you could be kain to get with agav, avu b'chalip esoda v'adele mikti, but you can't be kain to get with chalip esoda, with exchanging of a handkerchief. Why? So he writes over here, the time of the hachmos, we skipped one line, to be agav nikne v'loy b'kinyin sudr, niri mishun de get ksiv v'nosan. Because by get it says v'nosan, v'chalipin derech u'memka, mekach u'memka. Chalipin is not called v'nosan. It's not called giving. When you use the terminology v'nosan, that's not chalipin. There was no giving by a chalipin, because I didn't give you anything. I gave you a handkerchief. I didn't give you the object in question. So therefore says the Ketzais, you can't use that for get, because by get it says v'nosan. Right, so where's the Vinasa Bayagav according to this? So it sounds like from the Ktzais, again, to me it's a little hard to understand, but it sounds like from the Ktzais that Chalipin is always deemed a business type of procedure. Even though Kinyan Agav is not. Kinyan Agav is not something used in business world. Kinyan Agav is something used in all transfer type of worlds. So something, an act like Chalipin that's deemed used only for business, so that lacks a ma'isa v'nosan. Again, I don't really understand it because Mimonashach. If Rashi brought in the word v'nosan, so then it's open. If it's open, it should work in all cases. Yeah, the Gemara says in the beginning of Kedusha we learned it from Bayaz and Rus.
So that wasn't a mekach u'memka situation.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. The problem is that the Gemara uses chalipa for a lot of things. He has a habit to use it for kedusha. You know, yeah. We would have thought that v'nosan is open. If v'nosan is open, so then it fits in whatever v'nosan means. It means transfer. It doesn't mean giving. That's how the Ketzais understood. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky will tell you it's not even a kasha, because again, what was Reb Shmuel Rozovsky's lomdus in Rashi? That it only works by kinyan agav. Kinyan agav is a kinyan mitzad the machne. The Gemara has a machlokes above Metziah. How does Kinyan Siddur work in Lomdus? Is Kinyan Siddur really a Kinyan Mitzad the Kaine, or is it really Mitzad the Machne? And the Gemara says it's telling whose handkerchief you use. Do you use the Kaine's handkerchief, or do you use the Machne's handkerchief? So Kinyan Chalipin, if we assume it's a Kinyan on Mitzad the Kaine, then when I lift up this handkerchief, that's why I'm Kaine the object. So according to Reb Shmuel Zoshki, of course that's not going to work for Gershon. That's the Isha doing the Maisa Kenyan. So why is Kenyan Agav work? Because Kenyan Agav is not mitzad the Kainer. Kenyan Agav is mitzad the Machne. So if you hold that Chalibun works because of the buyer, not the seller, so according to Reb Shmuel Zoshki, this is not a kash. Now, Reb Nochum has a piece over here where he wants to learn a whole different pshat in the sugya. He wants to suggest that the reason why you can't use Sudr for Rashi is because of a whole different svar. And he says like this, number 9, even if you hold like Rashi, that you can be kaina a get with other mechanisms besides giving it, that's if you make a maisa kinyan in the actual chifetz. Again, when I pick up a handkerchief, I don't touch the get. Regular kinyan chalipin. I want to sell you a table. So what happens is I pick up a handkerchief, and now I'm carrying the table. Did anyone touch the table? The table is not involved at all. The maisa kinyan wasn't done to the table. Mishicha, I pick up the table. Hagbo, I move the table. There's no maisa done to the table. It's done to something else. So therefore, he says like this. The only time you can be kainer by get is if the isha did a maisa kinyan to the guf hadover that we're discussing. Now, he doesn't explain all that much why should this nekuda matter. Who cares? If you own it, you own it. You don't own it, you own it. But this is his premise. Now, if this is true, again, let's accept this notion of Reb Nochum, that the reason why Rashi holds you can't use kinyan sudr, because kinyan sudr is not a kinyan done to the guf hadover. So right away, you have to ask yourself, how does Agav work? My name is Kinyan Agav, it's not. So Reb Nochum speaks this out. He says, "Im kinyan advarim yishleimer, the gam the Rashi moide, the benesinas get boi shiasa kinyan beguf haget, el the Rashi tzvila the gam be kinyan agav nasa kinyan beguf hametalpolin." He held that the lumbus of kinyan agav is when I make a maisa kinyan on the table, when I close the door of the chatzar, that's like I'm making a maisa kinyan on the metalpolin, which we spoke a lot about, is a big discussion. How exactly does kinyan agav work? But Reb Nochum addresses the kash that we all thought of, that if you're going to learn Rashi, that the reason why it doesn't work by kinyan sudr is because you didn't make a maisa kinyan in the thing you're buying, how do you say by kinyan agav? When the isha closes the door, and the metalpolin are in L.A., where's the maisa kinyan on the metalpolin? So Zakhtar Nochum, you're going to have to say, and this he doesn't elaborate on, but you're going to have to say is that for somehow, when you close that door, you're somehow making a maisa kinyan on the metalpolin as well. And that I don't claim to understand what that means. But if you accept it,
just mashicha generally beforehand.
No, if you're making a mashicha on the metalphalin,
I'm not touching the metalphalin. I'm not touching. Forget about agav. Just mashicha.
Yes, then you are mashicha
avua. For the
guest. See, let's say for example, I wanted to be created to you this table. So you'd lift up the table.
But mashicha, I'm not lifting the table. Not mashicha.
Chatzer. Right. So by chatzer, so then you're making a ma'aseh kinyan in the chatzer. You're closing the door of the chatzer, so then you're kind of the chatzer, because you didn't act to the chatzer. So every time you're making a ma'aseh kinyan, you're generally connecting yourself to the object that you're buying. Except for kinyan sudr, says Reb Nochum. By kinyan sudr, you're not touching the thing you're buying, you're touching something else. So if you accept his lumnus, it answers up for the ktsaisis issue, but again, I don't well understand how this makes sense. Because even though physically she's doing the act, in Lumdis she's not the one doing it. Like, for example, we had in Kedushin, where the Gemara talks about a case where the Isha would give the money, but it was a case of an Adam Choshev. So really the giver was really the recipient. Even though physically it didn't look like that, but in Lumdis that was going on. So here also, even though she's physically closing the door, but that whole power of enabling the get to become hers is not just because she closed the door. Closing the door would get her the chatzah. That wouldn't get her the get. What gets her the get is the fact that the machne is giving her the get. So even though to the eye it looks like the wife is doing it, in lamdas it's really the husband is doing it. What? So that's the shayla. The question is how chalipin works. Is chalipin mitzad the machne or is it mitzad the kain? Reb Shlomo Eger has a tshuva. It's brought down in Kiva Eger. We want to bring a raya from a Tosfos in Daf Chaf Aleph. There's a Tosfos in Daf Chaf Aleph that talks about the cases of an otzus nokov, a flower pot with a hole, and it's being yoinik from the ground. So the Taisus wants to know, can you be machne that get to the isha? You write a get on an otzus nokov, you write a get on a flower pot that has a hole, and it's getting its nutrients from the ground. So the Taisus over there has a whole discussion, can you be meishich the, can she pick up the pot? So Taisus says you can't, because since it's getting its nutrients from the ground, it's attached to the ground. And if it's attached to the ground, meishich doesn't work for karka, you can't schlep karka, so therefore you can't be kain. So ask some Shlomo Eger, I don't understand. Don't give it to her als meishicha. Write a shtar. Write a shtar, I'm gifting you the property, and let her be kain it. What's the big problem? What was Taisus' big problem? How do you get the pot to be hers? Very easily. You give it to her with a shtar. The karka's nikdem a shtar. So says Reb Shlomo Eger, you see from over here, that it doesn't work, kinyonim. That wouldn't be considered. You can't be makna and isha get through another maisa kinyan. You can't gift her through a shtar. You got to give it to her. And since you can't pick it up and give it to her, it's no good. That's what Shlomo Eger's raya from a Tosfos. There's Yushalmi. Rav Kveger brings this Yushalmi. Let's say you have a case where the husband writes the get on the horns of a parah, on the animal itself. He writes it on the animal, on the back of the animal, and he gives her the animal. It's all yours. And she makes a maisa kinyan on the animal with the get pichal. So the Yushalmi is mesupik. So says Rav Kveger, what's the Yushalmi suffik? So Rav Kveger thinks Yushalmi suffik is Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, what happens over here? You give her the get through what mode of kinyan? Maisa mesira, meshicha, whatever she do. She slept the animal becomes hers. So according to Rashi, that's good. Not according to Rav Shmuel Zofsky's Rashi. In Rav Shmuel Zofsky's world, that would not be good, because that's a maisa kinyan done on the kinyan. That according to Rashi doesn't work. But if you don't want like Rav Shmuel, so Rav Kveger says that would be good. According to Tosfos, it wouldn't be good. So Rav Kveger wants to say that the suffix of the Yushalmi would be told in Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Kveger rejects this. He says, I have a better way of learning it. Where's the Venosan Biyada? Is it in her hand? I understand. She owns. She takes the part. She's schlepping the part. The whole get's not in her hand. She only owns a small part of. She's only holding on to a small part. So Kveger wants to suggest that the suffix of the Gemara is, does Venosan Biyada mean the whole get has to be in your hand? Or does it mean part of it's in her hand? The fact that she's holding on to the part of the animal, that's sufficient to be Biyada. Or no, says Rav Kveger. Maybe you have to have the whole animal in your yacht. Right? So Rav Shechter quotes a Nefesh Rav from Salvation's father that he was very makbid based on a Pesachic Tshuva, that when you give a gift, you have to make sure the entire paper fits into her hand. They'd fold up the paper. Halach l'mais, I don't think Paiskim today are makbid, but there's such a Pesachic Tshuva like this, that you have to make sure the whole paper is beyond and nothing's hanging out. So Rav Kveger learns that's part of the suffix of the Yushalmi. Can you do such a thing? Does Venasa beyond mean it has to be completely in her hand? Or Venas Biyada means it's someone in her hand.
Well, I understand the technicality. What would the application is that, if you have it again, if what's if I'm not carrying, I need two hands to carry it, and one hand.
Right, it has to be considered all in your hand. Well, if it's hanging out, if you give you a big document. I don't know. I'm not sure why they felt that this is Hakpada Satira over here to specifically. Yeah, if it turns out. It's not about ownership. Again, we're going back now. It's not only about ownership, it's about being Biyada. If it has to be in her hand, it's not in her rishos, it's the middle of the street. But she's holding on to part of the animal. Part of it's in her hands, right? She has her two hands on the back of the animal. So part of the animal's biyada, not all of it. So that's the way Kveger wants to learn.
It's not like chatzar, though? Like, it's on the horn?
But the animal's not in her hands, nor is the animal in her possession. We want the animal to be her chatzar, and kaina als chatzar. The animal should become like her chatzar. Yeah, maybe, depending on what the animal's doing. The animal's tied up. That's the next thing we have to get to. Right. We'll have to see if the animal's tied up, maybe. Let's just try to do one more line of Gemara, because I want to finish the sugya. I left over here Reb Chaim that we didn't get to. It's a Geshmak Reb Chaim with a story. Stories are always fun. The story is really not relevant to the alumnus. It's a very, very short story. So if you're looking for a good maisa, this is probably not what you want to look at. But Reb Chaim had a local maisa de Geshayla about our sugya. A whole alumnus Geshayla about the lady. Basically, the story with Reb Chaim was that a husband had a get. And he wrote a get, and he left it in his suitcase, in his house. And the wife came and picked up the briefcase. So Shaila was, is that Venasa, is that Tlegidi, how does all that work? So Reb Chaim connects it to our sugi with a little bit of the Lomdash spin, and how he understood sugi. But I just want to go Vaiti, because I want to get to the next sugi for next week. So let's just go back to Gemara for 1 second. The Gemara says, Tanya Name Hachi, we learned in a Braisa, I do sometimes try to go Vaiti. I know it doesn't look like that, but I sometimes do try. Tanya Name Hachi, Omalo Kinsi Shtachi, the Gemara brings a Braisa. Says in the Braisa, Kinsi Shtachir, that you tell her, here, take your bill, or you threw it behind you. Again, the Shafasim Achayrev means it's tucked into your pants. Kara'asa, she reads the Vahariyugite, and it's a get. Ain't a get, it's not a good get, until he says to her, Hagitech. Divi Rebbe, you have to take it back and give it again. So, Mefarshim, all bothered, what's the Tanya Nami Hachi? Tanya Nami Hachi means I'm bringing a riot to what I stated earlier. This is not a right to what we stated earlier. We stated earlier that it's not enough that it gets tucked into his pants. It has to be that it's tucked in and he moves his body to enable her to get it. The Gemara brings a raya, Tanya Namihachit, only half of the statement of the Braisa. If you remember, the Braisa had two stages. First, the Gemara answers, Shafasim Echayiv, it's not on the ground, it's in his pants. And then the Gemara says, well, that's not good enough. It's got to be Arakale, he moves also. And then the Gemara brings a Braisa to back it up, but doesn't seem to back it up. The Braisa, Tanya Namihachit, is only half of a raya. It's only a raya that you're not allowed to have to get on the ground. It doesn't say. It sounds like from this braisa, if the get would be tucked in his pants and he stands and does nothing, and she comes over and pulls it out, that would be a good get. We learned earlier that's not good. So what type of Tanya Nami Hachi is this? So if you jump down to number 12 in the Sefer, they quote for the Yosef Cairo, We know him as the Shulchan Aruch. So Rabbi Yosef Cairo learned Pshat in the Gemara like this. The Rai is, from the fact that the Braisa brings down Shalfasim Achayrov, that's already differently from the way the Mishnah said it. The Mishnah said that he threw the get behind her. Now, literally, that means the get's on the floor. We learned that doesn't mean that. It means the get's in his pants and he moves in his waist. So when the Braisa quotes Shalfasim Achayrov, which means that it's tucked in his back, that already is telling me that we're not reading it the way the Mishnah read it. We're not taking it literally from the way the Mishnah wrote it. Ah, so says Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the same way we're not taking it literally that it meant it was on the ground, also when it says Shafasim Achayrov, it doesn't really mean it was in his pants, it means it was in his pants, and she moved. Interesting track. It means that we basically have the right to say that nothing's dafka. That when the Braisa wrote those words, it was copying the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was loved after the Braisa was loved after. That's the way Rabbi Yosef Cairo. The Daki Moshe has a different shot, but it's a very stark kasha how to read the Gemara if the Gemara is bringing a raya to something which is clearly not what the Gemara said earlier. Okay, that's the end of the sugi. Mr. Shem, next week we'll move on to a new sugi. We'll talk about chatzim halachas and moving chatzim.